Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron. That's Mim Jensen with Pause Button. Welcome to the studio, John.
Sorry, good morning.
Did you get wet on the way in or did you get in between the showers?
I got in between the showers, so it's quite good.
You should buy a car, John. You keep dry.
Yeah, well, you can get bikes with covers as well.
You've got
there's
one of them?
Quite a fancy one that's got sort of pointed nose to it and a recumbent and apparently goes about 40 or 50 kph.
You're going to invest?
I don't know. $20,000 price tag puts me
off.
Oh,
really? Yeah, that is a little off-putting. I've got to agree. So, yeah, folks, John comes in every couple of weeks and we talk local issues, local politics, sometimes local history. And I was just encouraging John to look at the results of the Well Energy Trust elections because we tried a couple of times to give some explanation for this to the small proportion of the population, voting population that lives in our broadcast area, because this is for the Waikato region, basically. So I really doubt we made much difference. But our man Neil Tolan was off the pace a little bit. I'm not surprised. There's 25 candidates for seven positions, and it's actually a mystery to me. Apart from writing the word discount in your a lot in your explanation, I don't know what else you do to get voted in. I predicted that Jamie Strange would do well because he was already well known
as an MP.
Yeah, and he did get in, but he was seventh of the seven, so I was a little bit like, well, that's not really what I was predicting. And Alan Chu, who was not on before, as owner of Houston Computers, he did really well. So
people who know how to vote online and buy computers voted for him.
Well, a bit. I mean, now where was the thing here? The voter turnout when preliminary results were released was 10.47%. So this is preliminary results, I should emphasise.
My recollection is the last one was 13%, so it's going even worse than a bad result last time.
Yeah, it's hard to know because you could vote digitally now. How many postal votes are still waiting to be counted? I wouldn't say it was a lot.
Yeah, I'm just being distracted by the rain outside, and I agree, I got here at the right time.
You did, yes. There's about 200 votes between number 7 and number 8. So, I don't know, maybe it'll change, but probably people don't really care. But what is our population? If 10% of people voted, John, what's the actual population, voting population? Do we know?
Well, Hamilton alone is 140,000, is it? So it's probably
people.
About 200,000 or more.
Well, they can't all vote in Hamilton,
300,000 probably.
Some of them are children.
True. Yeah, I don't know what the votes add up to. Does it look like something like 20 or 30,000?
Well, that doesn't work, though, because people can do seven votes.
That's true.
So okay. This could get complicated. I mean, I could sum all the votes divided by seven. Would that work?
Well, the area is the whole of the Waikato district, a large chunk of Waipa district, and the whole of Hamilton City.
So it's not the Waikato region, like the regional council?
No, well, it's the Well area, which goes back in the history to the Central Electricity Generating Board that was set up back in the 1920s. So
oh, okay.
It's gradually evolved from that.
All right. Well, that's enough on that anyway, because I've talked about it quite a bit. It does look like there'll be a change to voting blocks on there and Jamie Strange in the mix. So there'll be a lot more discussion for the next 3 years. They will have to work together, I guess.
And probably fewer than 10% of our listeners are interested.
You want to try to make them interested.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they're just switching off. So we should move on to something else.
Remember for next time.
Let's move on.
Look out for what they do, and then you might have an idea of who to vote for next time.
It's hard to find out what they do.
That's true.
Yeah.
you get 150 words that tells you something about them, and if you do more research, you can find a bit more, but not a lot.
Well, you tried to do that, didn't you?
Yes.
Were you satisfied with your research?
I found some things that encouraged me to vote for some people and not for others, but it was pretty hit and miss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A thing of mystery. The Well Energy
Trust
election.
I call open democracy.
No, and it's not like anyone's trying to close it either. It's just not very open. All right, let's move on. To something more exciting for John anyway, buses. Now, yeah. We had at the last community board meeting, there was a presentation about buses and about the internal bus service that's supposed to be coming to Raglan. It was interesting, John. I stood up and spoke at the start about the... because I wanted to keep bringing people's attention to the sand that's been eaten away, or the sand that's not been... No, there's more sand and less grass over at Papahua. And we had collected a history of information with John Salt, a history of people trying to alert council, regional and district council to it, and the people they're dealing with are leaving the council and the thing falling by the wayside. And then when we got to the bus discussion, it was the same story again. The guy did his presentation. Then Lisa, our councillor, said, did you get... We sent to your council our own community survey we did and something else as well, another piece of useful information. Of course, he hadn't seen them. So it was the same issue again there. And it seems we seem to be powerless to do anything about it. So they did do their own survey. I don't know how they did it.
Well, they didn't. Were relying on a Waikato district survey, and I'm not sure whether it's the same one that Lisa was talking about.
Well, no, because the community board did their own one here.
Did they, or did they just support the Waikato district
survey? No, they did their own one, because that was the one that was on...
Because there was a Raglan transport survey that was done back in 2020. And the only thing I could find about it was on Raglan 23.
I think it was
asking us to fill in a survey, which at the time I was quite critical of, because it seemed to me it wasn't going to give them the information they needed to design a bus service. But
okay, well, let's not worry too much about it. The gist of what I got from the Waikato Regional Council staff member was that having an internal bus is a waste of time, and you should put the money into increasing your weekend bus service. Is that a fair summary, John? You might have paid better attention. Oh, okay, all right. I was hoping I was wrong. but is he right, though?
I then questioned them about this survey that had been done, because for some reason they also presented those figures. And when you look carefully at those figures, they showed that about a quarter of the population of Raglan would use the bus each day, so that's around about 400 or 500 people.
That seems a lot.
Well, that's what they thought, which is why they ignored the figures. At the community board meeting, I asked them that question, and they said, the difference is that not all the people who said they would use the bus were actually going to be bus users, because they asked two sets of questions. Would you use the bus? And if you did, how often would you use it? Quarter that I was talking about was based on how often would you use it, but even when you look at the other figures, you see that that would still leave a lot of people, because they were saying that probably only 3 to 14 people would use it each day, which they've based on figures from the other small towns, or rather larger towns than Raglan, that they've looked at, Tokoroa and Tauporn.
This is a bus service we're talking about that presumably might run from the wharf, zip around town out to the beaches or Rangitahi or something.
Well, it might. But
it might, yeah. So
their design didn't include the wharf, and it didn't include the beaches.
I know. I didn't want to get into that, but you're right. But generally, zipping around our local community, not going over the divvy. And his conclusion was 3 to 14 people a day would use it.
Yes. Which
do you think he could be right, though? Do you think he could be right?
Well, they've now shown how they've reached those figures. So 3 is based on the number of people, if it was compared with Taupo, and 14 is based on the number of people if it was compared with Tokoroa.
Where there's higher bus patronage.
Yes.
And how do we compare to those places?
Well, if you look at the number of people who use the current bus, then we're way above it. So average bus use over a quarter is about 7% of the population, and ours is about, I've gotten the figure off, and it's well over 100%. So there's quite a difference there.
Okay, so the point of this, or the conclusion of this for me, is it's damn hard to predict.
Yeah, well, it is with the surveys that they've done so far.
And I think it was pointed out by someone on the community board that the point of this is it's a trial.
Yeah, because back in 2002...
That's the research. The trial is the research.
Yeah, because it's now quite a long time ago, but 20 years ago we did a survey which did show fairly accurately how many people would use each bus, because we asked what times people wanted to travel and what leeway they had, whether it was 10 minutes or an hour or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And whether they would use the bus if that were if that fitted. And on that basis, we got fairly accurate result.
Who's we?
Well, we being the council and the Environment Centre at that time.
Okay, right. So that's how you do it if you want to do it properly.
Well, I'm not going to guarantee that that was accurate, but it was a lot more accurate than the one that was done 3 years ago, yes.
Okay, so I think I'm just going to fall back on the idea that the whole point of this, the funding is for a trial to see what happens. So maybe we should just get on and do the trial. But how do we choose the route, John?
Well, the argument from the council is that, or from the regional council, is that because we've got a much higher level of car ownership here than they have in Tokoroa, therefore our use is going to be even lower than Tokoroa's. But I think that ignores the fact that we've got a lot of people interested in the environment here.
Yeah, yes.
And we've also got problems with parking in the centre of town, whereas Tokoroa has lots of empty spaces in the centre of town, and doesn't have the same park. It's got wider streets as well than we've got. So whenever I've been to Tokoroa, I've not seen a problem with parking, whereas I'm aware from living here that there is a problem with parking. So,
yeah, even though you don't park, you still notice. You keep hearing
about dodge the parked cars.
yeah, exactly. Now, look, there was a stat that was really interesting to me that was a bit of a revelation. In places, the fare, so when we get on a bus, we pay a fare, and that makes up, depending where you are, I think in Taupo it was 5%, made up 5% of the income for the bus service, and Tokoroa it made up 10%. Was that right?
Yeah.
That is staggeringly low. And someone said, if it's that low, the media, why don't you just not charge for it, make the bus free, and you'll get more people? And then the guy from council's response was, well, that's not very effective. It only gives you 140% increase. Or was that a 40% increase?
I think 40% increase, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. So from, yeah.
So, yeah, and fares aren't the main thing that put people off using public transport. It's the frequency and speed of it.
Yeah.
But
this is what research shows.
Yeah, but yep. It was Chris on the community board who raised that, and he's quite right that it is certainly a factor, and if you're going to collect a tiny proportion of the cost of it, then it adds to the hassle and adds to the time that it takes, because it takes time to collect fare and sort that out.
Yeah.
Or even just to tag on and off with a card, because people can't find their cards and they hunt around for them, and they don't get the card in quite the right place, so they have to do it two or three times. And
is that what happens to you, John, is it? You forget your card?
I'm not blaming myself usually, but I have done it, so yeah.
So that adds the time. I thought that's so ridiculously low, and council's very scrupulous about putting up fares every now and again. So we have to put up fares, and they must be getting like a 1 or 2% increase in the income for the bus service when they do that.
Yep.
If you're lucky.
Because my argument is that we all pay for transport through our rates. Then each of us pays around about $1,000 a year for transport. Which mostly goes into maintaining roads, but it also goes into buses and all the other footpaths and such. Right.
So if it's 5%, what's the price to get to Hamilton at the moment?
At the moment, it's $2, I think. But
$2
until the end of the month, and then it goes up to four.
Four. It used to be more than that, though, didn't it?
Well, they changed the fare system and. They drew the boundary just outside Raglan, so it's more expensive than comparable towns, but yeah, they have generally reduced the fares.
So, okay, so let's say Raglan's a 10% subsidy by the people paying the fares. That makes it $40 to get to Hamilton. It's cheaper to drive in terms of the petrol you use.
well, that's the problem, that if you do charge a fare, then you look at the cost of petrol, and however high the cost of petrol is, then even a dollar fare is expensive to travel around in Raglan, because you're not going to use a dollar's worth of petrol.
So why do we do public transport again, John?
We do public transport because Well, for several reasons. One of them is that it caters for those who don't have cars.
Yep.
So that's the argument of regional council looking at how many cars we've got.
And yep.
I think my area of Raglan's the one with the highest number of people not owning a car, but that's only a dozen of us in a block which covers from the centre of the CBD through to the RORO. So most of the way down Wallace Street, halfway down Wallace Street.
It's one of those mesh block things.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So there's only a dozen in that area, and the rest of Raglan only has sort of 2, 3, 0 in quite a lot of places. So, and they're quite right. We have got fairly high car ownership here.
Yeah.
But then there's the that's ownership per household. So quite often you've got more than one person in a household. And if the one person has taken the car, the other person hasn't got it. So from time to time they're going to want it.
We've got, like, our household's got three drivers and two cars. So there's that.
Yeah.
But I like to walk to work anyway, so it's not really big. It works.
And not all families travel together all the time, so, yeah.
No, there's going to be
kids and all sorts of things. People are going to be wanting. There's also people who don't have licences or have lost their licences, either because they've broken the rules or because they've got too old.
And other reasons are environmental benefits, I presume you're going to say.
Yep.
Okay.
I was getting around to that one.
But if the bus usage is so small that there's only a handful of people on the bus...
Yeah.
That might not actually be much of a benefit. No,
you probably need at least half a dozen on a bus to make it equate with a car in terms of fuel consumption.
Okay, so the break-even point's about 6.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing, too, I was talking about the cost of a ticket compared to fuel consumption, but of course there's a lot more cost to the use of a car. Okay, we're getting lost in the weeds again. John, what are we going to do?
And I've mentioned parking before as well, so that's another issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
parking spaces cost about $50,000 to $100,000 each in terms of the land they occupy and the cost of building them and maintaining them.
Yeah. So anyway, the guy from council had a plan to do a half-hour bus, and in order for that to work, it had to not go to the wharf or out to the beaches and the surf
but it
breaks.
It went to Rangitahi instead.
But it went to Rangitahi instead. I loved Chris's comment. He said, I don't think that people in Rangitahi are necessarily car poor. So questioning whether they needed the bus that much. But maybe after buying a house in Rangitahi.
But I do know actually a couple of people over there who've got cars but say they would use the bus.
It's, right.
Again, it's this environmental thing that we've got in Raglan.
Yeah. But it clearly needs to be an hourly bus reach the places we want here. Is that regular enough, John?
Probably not. Ideally, it would be a 10-minute service because with a 10-minute service, people don't bother with timetables, and timetables are another hassle if you've got to look them up and work out when the next bus is coming.
Okay. They do have an app. How many people – and there is an app now. You can actually see where the bus is physically. I know at one point it was showing it was in the sea, but I'm presuming they've sorted that out.
That was me not using it properly. Yeah.
Oh, that was you, was it, John? You put the bus in the sea. Okay, so are people using that? Is there much take-up of that as a –
I've certainly got it on my phone. But
yeah, but you're not a regular kind of...
I'm one of the dozen who haven't got a car.
Citizen, yeah. Yeah, okay. It's making it feel a little bit hopeless. Feeling like it's not really going to work out that well.
The survey that we did 20 years ago showed that there would have been a viable number, and the survey that was done 3 years ago shows that there certainly would be, but I think regional council have valid concerns about that survey.
Yeah.
Because it was done by an organisation called Versus, who are a couple of people in Hamilton who do surveys. And as far as I can see, they've got qualifications in marketing, but not in doing surveys. So
okay.
Quite
all right.
How good they are at doing surveys. Maybe they're just cheap at doing surveys, or maybe they know some of the people on the council.
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, folks, the upshot of this discussion is actually our discussion's kind of irrelevant. We can't decide. The community board or members of the community board are going to meet with the regional council staff and hopefully just say, here's where we want the bus to go. This is what the community's talked about for a long time. You're new in the job. Please do what we ask. And we might have a bus service up and running in a few months, an internal bus on a smallish bus, right, John? Not a big bus.
Well, again, it depends whether you look at those versus figures or whether you look at the... More realistic figures, but yeah.
You're not going to get a big bus driving around the wharf, though, are you?
You can get trucks going through around there, so I don't see why you shouldn't get a big bus going around there.
You haven't tried to drive around the silo when all the parks are full. There's no way you get a bus around there, because you go around the left side of the silo and it's a very tight turn.
Oh, they're also going to build the western walkway, which will allow more room on that road. So
it'll allow to get the pedestrians off. There's still not enough room for a bus, John. Okay, so, all right, let's move on.
Because I have been on a bus around there.
So. You want to keep talking about... Oh, you have?
A tourist bus.
Yeah, I can't. I just can't see it working. Not the full-size bus, eh?
Well, this was a large bus. They were taking a large group from Northland, from Whangarei, around Raglan. But, yeah.
Well, I'm not an expert, but, you know, I feel like it would be a struggle. And most people are agreeing with me.
I was impressed by how they did it, but, yeah.
Yeah, I would be. Can we move on to the annual plan? Which, folks, you might have heard us talking about the long-term plan, which is every 3 years the council works out its spending plan projected out for 10 years. The annual plan is every year they make small revisions. We used to be able to submit to that, but no longer. So this is just the councillors voting for this. John, and what have you done? You've pulled out relevant information to Raglan?
Well, as far as I could see it, yes.
So what have we got?
Well, they've got a list of key projects for the coming financial year, which starts next month. So one of them is Hills Reservoir number 2.
In about 4 days.
Which is $1.7 million to be spent on that.
So what is that? Oh, the reservoir, the water tank.
Yeah. So there's already one water tank up at the water trough quarry up there at the end of Cornwall Road off Hills Road. And they're going to put a second one in there, which is presumably in readiness for more housing going in that Greenslade Road area.
Am I looking at the right thing here, John? Oh, yeah, okay, all right. I can't fit it all on my screen. People may remember the Hills Reservoir. Wasn't that the one that when we had a earthquake that it broke?
Did it break or was it just stirred up? I thought it was stirred up.
Might have been stirred up.
I think it stirred up the sediment and that damaged some of the pumping and made the water unpalatable.
Yeah, so anyway, we had endless trucks of water being sent over at the divvy to Raglan, which luckily didn't happen at the same time as a slip on State Highway 23. That would have been interesting. So they're just going to spend some money on that, and we probably might not notice unless we drive past the right place.
Yeah, it looks as though they're finally going to get around to doing something about the sewage treatment plant. So they've allocated almost $7 million for that to be spent this year, which my guess is it's mostly going into design rather than into actually building it.
What was the overall budget? It was much bigger than seven, wasn't it?
Well, they had originally allocated $14 million for that, was it? No, $12 million for that. And now we've got $7 million being spent in this year, and as I say, that's probably just on design.
You can't be spending $7 million on design and $5 million on construction.
Well, they do say that design costs for infrastructure have been higher than expected, which may affect the private land discharge option as far as the sewage is concerned. So,
is there a meeting coming up, or has it just happened about that project?
That was an extract from the Waters Governance Board meeting on the 14th of June, so almost 2 weeks ago.
So does this mean anything important to us?
Well, it means that we're going to have a lot more to pay in the way of targeted rates, and our targeted rates are going up quite a bit anyway from 2018 on average to 2,173 in the coming financial year.
Our
overall rates increase is 7.33% for the average Raglan house.
Okay, which apparently is impossible in Auckland, but let's not get into that. Anything else, any other spending that you want to bring to the public's attention?
Well, those were the main two projects that they had highlighted, so those are the ones which are well over $1 million. I don't think they've so far listed the smaller projects that they're going for.
Okay.
They have, as I say, said what the rates increase is going to be. They've also said that the average house value in Raglan's $850,000, which seems to me to be on the low side. So I was expecting it to be higher than that, but maybe if you look at the number of small houses and the number of large houses and average them, you end up with that 850.
Okay.
They have also looked at the charges for things like the fishing boats at the wharf. So those are going to go up from 1,332 a year to 1,500 a year. And the aerodrome, that's going to go up from $12 a day to $14 a day.
Killer.
Which is still one of the cheapest in the Waikato, which explains why people want to fly here. Not just because Raglan's attractive, because it's cheap as well.
Yeah. I mean, what do people pay in other areas?
Well, other areas, they're quite often paying $30 to $50 a day.
So okay.
So ours are quite a bit below theirs.
Let's not get into it. It's just, that's too much in the weeds. What else can we talk about, John?
Well, we haven't seen how much they're getting for the airfield for quite a while, nor how much they're spending on it, so... Might be an interesting question to ask at the next community board. What's the balance sheet looking like for the airfield?
You'll have to give them a heads up because no one will know off the top of their heads.
And maybe it's an answer that we get at the next community board meeting.
That's a question for staff anyway, I should think. Okay, can we move on? What's this next thing here? What's WGB?
That's the Waters Governance Board that I was mentioning a minute or two ago. They've looked at the... sewage works, and they say detailed design is well underway with the initial drawings and specifications being reviewed in preparation for the tender concept design for the tender.
So this is the land-based treatment sewage treatment system you're talking about?
Yes.
Weren't we supposed to weren't they doing some research? Didn't we want to see the research? Well, we wanted to see the research. questions about what happens when you pump the treated sewage underground, does it affect people's wells in the area? That was one question. Where the pipe taking the stuff from the sewage works up to the site, where that was going to go, because that needed to go along future roadways.
So the answer to your first question of whether it's going to affect the wells, they're still saying we don't know, but we're going to do a survey. So I'm not quite sure when that survey is going to start or when we're going to get the results from it.
Well, they're talking about doing that 3 months ago.
Yeah, well, all these things, they keep talking about the same thing. So I suspect that's why people have stopped going on the monthly video updates that they do, because I was the only non-council person on the update last week.
So, and the update was that they are starting to do the developed design. That's my phrase. What's the actual phrase they got?
That's what they've said in their report a couple of weeks ago, yes.
I mean, they are on a time frame.
Yes.
They're already a little bit behind. So I guess they do feel the pressure to get on with things.
Well, as far as I can make out, regional council's happy to let that slide so long as they are apparently making progress, which is one of the reasons for having the monthly update, because there was somebody from regional council on that video call last week.
Right. So, folks, the district council, with the help of Watercare, which does our three waters, has to apply to the regional council to get permission to do our new sewage system. And to do any sewage system.
Yes.
Including keeping the one going. We're not even allowed to keep it going. It has to be improved.
Yep. Well, that should have been done over 3 years ago, but they've not got round to sorting it out in that time.
So. It'll still need to be done anyway, won't it? Because they still are treating the water. It's just a matter of whether treating the sewage. It's just a matter of whether it goes out to sea or it gets put into land.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, so progress, but I don't know.
Unless, of course, we get composting systems, which so far they're resisting.
No, that's not. Yeah, that's not happening in the next few months, for sure. WRC Transport, anything useful from there? That's a Regional Council Transport Committee. John gets all the minutes from all the subcommittees at the councils where all the decision-making really happens, and he usually knows things that often the councillors don't know.
I don't get them. I find them online.
Sorry.
Anybody could look online.
You go and get them. Yes.
The transport one, it relates back to our discussion on the buses that we had a few minutes ago, and there are deadlines for that, like August seems to be the deadline for actually agreeing on what's going into the next plan for public transport, which adds some urgency to thinking about what the bus issue is going to be and what we do want from it.
Subnational targets for reducing light vehicle use on just tier 1 URB. My God. Okay, that's...
So, yeah, the government's trying to reduce our carbon emissions. So this is driving a reduction in vehicle kilometre measurements. So the number of vehicles times the distance they go.
But they're not doing enough, are they?
Well, as a Green Party member, I don't think so.
Thank you for
if you're a National Party member and Chris Luxon, then maybe they're doing too much. So.
Thank you for your transparency there, John. Okay, what else? Is there anything else on this email you want to bring us, John, that you sent me? With John sends me homework, but I don't always do my homework. So I didn't really know what was happening here this
You've
morning.
Got lots of other shows to do as well, or lots of other interviews to do. So, yeah, one of the things that they have done, which probably they should have done ages ago, was to work out how much sewage we're getting, because it does make a difference to how big the sewage works needs to be.
Elementary.
So that they have just installed meters at a couple of the pump stations, and hopefully they'll get some results from that, which will inform their design a bit further. They keep talking about memorandum of understanding with the landowner up at Mangatawhiri Road, and I'm still rather vague as to whether they've got it or not, because there was also discussion as to who, if they did get an agreement, would be signing it, and whether it would need to go before council to get approval, or whether it could be just approved by some member of staff.
Okay, so those are details, John, details.
All these things are sort of up in the air. And they also mention that there have been some sewer line faults, particularly at the campground, that they've repaired. So there are still faults happening, but they seem to be on top of them and getting them repaired because they are doing closed-circuit TV.
Oh, those are leak moments you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, which was a few years ago was a major hassle for us in the community. Okay, all right.
And thought it was interesting to note that our previous deputy mayor and failed mayoral candidate, Axel Beck, is now chief executive of the Waikato Housing Initiative. I spotted that on a future-proof agenda.
Well, we know he's a very capable guy, so he has the respect of people in councils around the region now, uh-huh. So he is probably a good man for the job.
Yep.
If you're concerned about housing, and I believe everybody is.
Yeah, I hadn't spotted what he was doing before, so I thought maybe that was interesting.
To be honest, I think because he is so effective, he's got plenty to do. People are wanting his help to get things done at various councils and places like that. That's sort of what I'm picking up in the wind.
And we've also got from regional council and from their climate action committee. Summary of the emissions across the region for the years to 2022. And
who's the winner, John? Who's the winner?
Well, the picture doesn't look good. probably agriculture is doing better than any. No, I'm wrong on that, aren't I? That's gone up from just under 9 million to just over 9 million. Forestry is the one that's winning out. We keep on hearing about how many trees are being planted. And how that's affecting rural communities and devastating the landscape. So offset the carbon emissions, forestry has gone up from minus 5.5 million to minus 6.2 million, so a significant increase in forestry.
I was being sarcastic. The winner in terms of putting out the most emissions was agriculture, was it not?
Is it? No, transport, I think 1.5 to 1.9. There's quite a few winners in there. So the overall figure doesn't look good. It goes from 12.3 to 13.1.
No, it's definitely agriculture. That's 9 million whatevers. And transport is just 1.9 million whatevers.
Oh, in terms of the total, yes. In terms of the change over those 3 years.
Transportation is going up rapidly. Wow.
That's why we need to get people into buses and on bikes and walking.
Yeah, it's just not happening. There's no commitment. If anyone in government was serious about it, they would give the regional council loads of cash so there'd be 10-minute buses everywhere. It's as simple as that. There's no point even discussing it. They're not serious about doing anything. And eventually somebody will come along who is serious, but how bad things have to get before then, I don't know.
Yeah, because we have got lots of school buses that sit around most of the day doing nothing, and they could be using those to a greater extent almost immediately, but As you say, the will's not there.
I've got an excited...
But we have got an election coming up.
There is. An excited email from Craig thinking agriculture had gone down. No, it hasn't, Craig. It has gone up just a little bit.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Emissions have gone up. It is actually quite... I mean, it's by far the biggest contributor, but it hasn't gone up much. In fact, transportation is a much smaller overall contributor, has gone up more.
Yeah, if you're interested, have a look at the table, which comes from the Climate Action Committee of the Regional Council from 13th of June, so a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, this issue is not going to change until people get on the streets, I think. People need to get organised. You listen to Noam Chomsky, he said the solution is always for people to get organised, work together, and... when that happens, we'll see, but yeah.
Yeah, well, people have been talking about the need to make a change for the last 50 years or more, but
I mean,
all we've done is to make a change in the wrong direction.
There's powerful forces aligned against people wanting to do the right thing here, and including the media, who it took them a generation to get around to, yes, admitting climate change was a solid fact. Like literally a generation it took them from when the information became pretty reliable, although we know it was around a lot longer before then. And now
we've still got people like Regional Council who say, yeah, that survey has been done, but effectively it's a waste of money because we're not going to take any notice of it.
Yeah, and that's why staff leave Waikato Regional Council, because they are paid to be there to give expert advice on the subjects that they know a lot about, and they get ignored quite regularly. So I'm getting a bit dark about this, but I think we need to be realistic about what's going to make a difference. So we're going to get a lot of energy put into this election, and most of it's going to be about
prison sentences and
inflation. These hot button issues that get people wound up, mostly driven by the right's trying to get it back into power. So they're going to be doing a lot of skullduggery.
And whether Maori have got too much power and whether they're too wealthy and
all these
privileged.
All these things that get people wound up, they're kind of like, they're not the real issues that we're facing. They're not as big as, you know, I mean, who cares about racial issues if the planet's burning, right? So Noam Chomsky again, this one time someone asked him about voting for an election. He said, yes, he says, I give it about 12 minutes thinking about who I'm going to vote for, then I get back to my work.
Yeah.
So we're going to end up spending hours and hours paying attention to election stuff. Most of it's going to be squabbling over kind of personality issues, because National and Labor, as I've mentioned, often have pretty similar economic policies.
But there are other parties apart from National and Labor.
So. Well, yeah, there's also ACT, who are off the planet, basically.
Which is why National is moving towards the right. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is National why they picked up the things like the Maori and the prison sentences.
National doesn't know what to do. They're really stuck. But the economic policies of ACT, which had not been discussed, they're pretty much the same policies that British Prime Minister had when she crashed the British economy and was the PM for just a few weeks. Was her name Liz Truss?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, she was so extreme that even the markets and the banks and everyone thought she was too much. And the Bank of England had to save the economy. So that's what ACT is like. So all the 15% or so of people who are excited about ACT at the moment, I don't think they know what they're voting for.
Well, some people do, because some people would do quite well out of it, but it's certainly not 15% of the population who would do well out of it.
No, it would be 1% or 1% who do well out of ACT's policies. Anyway, we got way off track again. Can we move on to something else, John? There's another meeting coming up that you might want people to actually pay attention to. Is it later this week, Thursday? What's that?
Yes. Well, it's another of the reports. This one only happens once a year, or at the moment rather less than once a year. It should have happened in January, but it's happening on Thursday. So this is a meeting at the supper room. Well, they call it the surfer's room, but which
who,
is an interesting renaming of the supper room.
But. I haven't seen any surfing in there. The ceiling's a little bit low.
No, the official notice that I got said it was the surfer's room. So
what's interesting.
which seemed to me to be an interesting link with stormwater, which the meeting is about. Because of course, all that stormwater ends up going into a sea, and people surf in it.
Quite literally.
There's always a potential of pollution coming not only from our sewage, but also from our stormwater.
So this is our council and statutory bodies reporting back to the community about what's happening with the stormwater system, is it?
Yeah, because again, like sewage, whenever you discharge any water into some natural water body like the harbour, you need to get a resource consent for it. And the resource consent that they got said that they had to consult the community once a year and tell them what the results were from the measurements that they were doing, and discuss what the issues were with the community. So that should happen at least once a year, and it should have happened last January, and now it's happening on Thursday at 5:30 in the supper room.
So that's a smaller delay than we had a few years ago. Was it missed for quite a few years at one point?
Yes.
And then we did have a meeting. A lot of people from the community came along and were quite rude to the council staff, who were all brand new and trying to clean up the problem that had been caused by previous staff.
Yeah, again, then, like all the other departments, we've got a brand new person looking after stormwater.
Yeah, so, but do you think we'll get as many people along to this one? I bet it's just you, John, and maybe
Well, they were saying they were expecting 20, but I don't know what that's based on, whether it's a guess or whether it's some figure to write down on a report or what.
That one I'm talking about that I went to, I would have said there were 20 or 30 people. So are there iwi representatives?
Certainly the iwi have been informed. Whether they'll turn up, I don't know. And whether the community board will be there, again, they've been informed, but I don't know how many are going to come. It probably depends on the weather and how good the publicity is between now and then, and whether it's publicised in the Chronicle, which do we have one coming out on Thursday, or was it last week?
No, it was last week.
So there wasn't any mention of it in that, so that's probably not a good
sign.
Did
council not put a notice in?
No. Well, not that I spotted.
That should be a compulsory, shouldn't it?
I don't think the resource consent says they have to publicise the meeting, they just have to hold it.
So nobody could turn up? Mind you, you'd feel as a council staff member coming all the way out here to the surfer room in the town hall, a bit of a waste of your time if no one actually turned up.
Yeah, no, I think we ought to rename it the surfer room. It's probably a more original name than the supper room.
I know, it's a bit cheesy though, really. It's a bit cheesy. So if you're concerned about water quality in the harbour and on the surf breaks, this is an important check. Where the community board does get the community board, the community does keep an eye on what's happening with our regulatory bodies or the people doing the work, which is the councils.
Yes, and hopefully we'll have some reports there that will show what pollution is coming in from the various sewer outlets. But of course, the main pollution around the harbour comes from agricultural land, because the great bulk of land around the rivers and streams that flow into the harbour flow through agricultural land. So that's the main source of pollution, which is always pointed out by the council whenever they're criticised for the stormwater not being up to scratch.
Well, you just work on wherever you can work on the problem. And in fact, the farming community around the harbour has made great strides in the last, 20 or 30 years. The quality of water in the harbour has increased dramatically.
But there are still areas, particularly to the north of the harbour, where the fencing hasn't been done. And even where the fencing has been done, the research that's been done by NIWA suggests it only reduces the pollution by about 60%, so there's still 40% getting in.
Those farms over there, I mean, you've driven over there, they're not as productive. That land's not as productive as the farming around this part of the harbour, which means that landowners have bigger pieces of land on the same or probably less income, so it's harder for them to do anything about it. Of course, some of them may just not care as well. That's in the mix, but it is definitely harder over that side of the harbour, I think.
Yeah, well, I think it also shows there's less influence from this town, which, as I was saying earlier, is quite an environmental concern.
Yes.
As we've shown with the plastic spree and all the other campaigns, extreme waste and Harbour Care and the various other organisations.
And just community members have been heavily involved in. Yeah, that was, we had that discussion last week about the new plastic ban coming in, and it's like, well, we're already doing most of that here anyway, so it's not such a challenge for us at all.
Which is why it's hard to actually get the concern that's here over to the council members and staff who are on the other side of a divvy.
Yeah. And the other thing too is it's a different kind of toxic goop coming from the farms that comes from the roads, isn't it?
Yes. Well, in the problem with what comes off the roads is mostly heavy metals. So various bits of cars have things like cadmium and lead in them and copper and such like. And whenever you replace your tyres on your car, essentially that means that you've put quite a lot of that tyre onto the road and it's washed off in the stormwater.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that's worse, you'd think, than what's coming off the farms?
Well, it's different in that heavy metals stay there, whereas what comes off farms tends to be nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen and the bacteria from animals.
Yeah.
One's more biological, the other one's more metallic or heavy metals, and heavy metals don't disappear. They can be taken up by plants and such like and disappear that way, but
they get into the fish.
Cleaned up in stormwater systems if the treatment's there.
Have we got anything in our stormwater systems around town where they are trying to catch the heavy metals?
Well, only that they've got Enviropods in them, which collect all the cigarette butts, and because there's quite a lot of plastic, disappears down the drains as well.
So it's getting that stuff, but that's not stopping heavy metals, is it?
Well, to some extent, it will catch the heavy metals as well. So to that extent...
Hemp draws up heavy metals. Thank you, Craig.
To that extent, it does help reduce it, but there are other ways of doing it, and I'm hoping that on Thursday those will be discussed as well.
What about what they did on Bankart Street when they upgraded that road there? They got that, like, call it a rain garden or something down the side there. Does that help?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the ways of doing it, because plants do take up heavy metals, and having a rain garden there is one of the ways of doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, plants, including hemp, Craig, take up heavy metals, but other plants do too.
Yeah.
Craig had an interview with the hemp man last week.
Yeah, lots of people have been promoting hemp for all sorts of things. And, governments traditionally have not seen hemp as a good crop because of its connections with cannabis.
They're worried their votes will go down and blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Yeah, there's not too much scientific basis to that, but
no,
it is a political thing.
Perception. It's all about political perception. All right, John, thank you for coming in this morning and talking about the gory detail of what goes on at council. What have we learned? We learned a lot about buses, but it's up to our community board.
We've got a deadline of August to get something sorted out. We've learned that there's going to be a lot more spending on water and sewage over the next year, and we've got this meeting on Thursday to talk about stormwater. So those are the main things I think we've talked about.
We should do this each time. What did we learn today? That's excellent. All right, thanks for coming in, John. And folks, if you want more detail, John will be doing more detail. 6 o'clock show starts tonight, isn't it, John?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, thanks for coming in. And folks, end of the show for the day. I'll be back again tomorrow morning.